It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, man, it got winter since the last time we chatted with you, but thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. And wherever you're listening around this great state of Michigan or internationally, it may not be winter where you are, but it is where we are. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's good?
Yeah, that's right. You could be in balmy Texas right now.
Right.
I don't know how the weather is down there, but welcome. Thanks for joining us. It is the smokiest and now snowiest show on the radio.
Right.
It is good smoking weather, speaking of snow. That's a great time to haul your smokers out because you don't have to stand out there and grill something if it's a long cook.
Right.
That's real nice.
Yep.
But
we're going to talk about that in a little bit because I've got a later today, I've got a feeding the hockey team. For my son plays pro hockey, and we're going over to feed the team after the game, and I'm smoking right
Where's
now.
Where's that?
What? Over in Fraser, the east side of the state.
Oh.
Utica, Fraser area.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's, you know.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So we're going to take a barbecue over there. But there's only 25 of them. It'll be an easy deal. But
if they would come to you, it'd be better.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, but the bus wouldn't fit in my driveway so well, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It might fit in. It might not fit out.
No, right. Yeah.
Well, if you were ahead of the game, like some of us, and got all your leaves up, good for you. If you didn't, you're done.
Yeah. So what we're saying is probably where you're listening is, most of us are in Michigan and, we got winter. It came out of nowhere. It was 70 on Wednesday and Friday. We're getting, you know, bunches of snow. So it's kind of weird.
Thursday we got a foot.
Yeah.
In Lowell.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't hit.
Had
quite
to plow twice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's
welcome home from deer camp.
Right.
Get the plow hooked up.
Right.
But, I wasn't ready.
Right.
I didn't have my plow out yet. I got a few things I wanted to rebuild on it.
Yep.
But you know, the wife tearing the bathroom apart kind of throws a little
slows things
chink
down.
In it.
Yep. So, speaking of deer camp, Barbecue Bob, successful, got your buck. That's cool.
I spent some bucks.
Yeah.
It was
What,
so
did you send
weird.
A picture of somebody else's buck with you with it? I thought you sent us a picture of a buck that you got.
No.
Conrad and I were both thinking
that.
No.
Yours. Chaz sent you that.
Oh, okay. Oh. Are you sure?
That's what Chaz got. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, see, no. I was confused. So, weren't you?
Yeah, that buck, I thought.
We were even chiding you about it a little bit because of the size.
I know, that's why I didn't
get the tie-in. It's like you were robbing the cradles with that. With
right.
That.
I didn't think it was, well, don't say anything disparaging about it.
No.
But it wasn't mine. And no, just like last year, right about the time rifle starts on our lot, our 64 acres, it's not a place where they are. They disappear. I think we know. We think.
How many
we know
years
where
in row you've been hunting up there?
Oh, 15.
Yeah. So 20. You don't know that by now?
Well, this pattern's shifted.
Ah, okay. All right.
We've always had great openers, cruiser bucks and stuff. And last year was the same way. A couple days before rifle, just done. But I have a hypothesis, and I think this year we didn't call Babe, but I think this year the rut was very early. I think like 2 weeks. So I think by the time rifle started, the rut was done, and everybody was just tuckered out from being tuckered.
Yeah, it depends where you are. I mean, because it's good ground in some places. I had buddies, you know, dropping pictures for me.
Right.
You know, I know six deer that were killed opening morning.
Well, and
you know,
you,
and they're
yeah.
out there. They're
if
out
you,
there.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
But if you've got the property where their habitat is,
right.
you know,
right.
where they're sleeping and eating.
Yep.
You're much more likely to see traffic. Even if it's slow traffic, you're going to see something.
Yep.
Because they have to eat every day.
Yeah, exactly. But a few of the guys, my buddies down in Shartucky, had a special, really kind of cool, husband, wife, and the son, all three got bucks opening morning, and they were all eights or bigger, and it was just a beautiful family picture. You know, that doesn't happen.
Well, that's a fantastic area for deer anyway.
Oh, it is.
From there down to Jackson, down to Hillsdale.
Right.
You've got a wedge of monster bucks.
Well, lots of farm fields and lots of swamps, so the two of those go together to make big deer.
Well, the funny thing is my brother-in-law, Paul, comes up to hunt with me, and he lives in Jonesville, which is by Hillsdale. And the deer around there are state record. The state record for a long time was out of Hillsdale area.
Right.
Yeah, it was this massive – I don't know.
Whatever, right.
210 typical or something like 215 typical.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's been beaten, but this thing was like, it made the Iowa Bucks look humble. It was monstrous. So they are here, and we do have some big bucks around our property, but boy, they didn't want to come around a couple days before. I hunted bow for 4 days before rifle, and then 2 days of rifle. I mean, scant. We saw a few hot does every now and then wandering through. Not close enough to get a shot. And I don't shoot hot
does.
I don't shoot hot does anyway. Yeah. No.
Easy, Conrad. Easy now.
We like the older gals, the big gals.
Yeah, right.
We like the big girls.
I think I might be okay with us having a little window between us right now.
Yeah, it's a good thing you do. You got that goatee. It's
right.
Big.
All right. Yeah. But anyway, so snowy deer camp, Bob. How'd you stay warm? You're in a canvas tent. Man, did that wood stove in there keep you guys warm?
We had a wood stove and a vent free by the door.
Okay.
There's plenty of ventilation in a tent.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys I bought it from heated with nothing but vent free, and I thought they were crazy, but you can't smell any of the exhaust at all. So much is leaking out. You need to pour as much heat in it as you can.
Sure.
But I was awfully glad that right before it snowed, I went out and cut a bunch of wood.
Okay.
Because after it snowed, it's all wet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all covered with snow. And you don't want to do that. You're slipping around in the snow.
So you were cutting wood in the middle of a place where you were going to be deer hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So that might have scared some of them away.
You know, they're used to that. The guy that cuts wood there all the time, I mean, I saw him logging with his giant machine, and the deer were over on the other end. They don't care.
Right.
Just like a tractor. It doesn't bother them.
Yep.
Now, a bunch of guys talking, that'll bother them.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah. So what'd you have at camp for food?
Oh, man. I made some stew.
Yep, that's a staple.
Got a beautiful chuck roast out and roasted it. And
use a Dutch oven?
No, I did not.
What?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, come on. Don't let me down. I thought I was teeing that up for you to hit down the middle.
No, here's the deal. We have an Instapot, so I did the roast in the Instapot.
You got electricity up there?
No, I did it before I went up.
Oh, okay.
It's too hard to make all that mess at deer camp.
Oh.
You know, you got to clean it up.
So you did a warm-up.
It's bad
then.
Enough when you bring the food, you still have to clean your containers.
Right. But well, you have no running water, no electricity.
No. If you're going to do all that cooking, and I got two guys with me that don't get around, they're older.
Right.
Well, one's actually a year younger, but he doesn't get around very well.
Right.
And so I'm kind of like
the camp bitch.
Camp chef,
yeah.
And the maid, butler.
No wonder they like going to camp with you.
Oh, yeah.
Geez, when I was there, that didn't roll that way.
Oh, right. You don't remember, that's all. But my brother-in-law accused me of like babying them or something, and I said, well, I can't stand to watch you walk around with a bad knee.
Right, yep. I get it. Yeah, heaven forbid they get one. You'd have had a heart attack dragging their deer out for them.
No, we got the mule with
them. Oh, that's right. Yeah, so this is rustic camp with modern conveniences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody drove four-wheelers up.
Yep.
And there's no issue there. But I have to go back with my big 14-foot trailer with a mule and all the gear on it. So packing up stinks.
Oh, yeah. Yep, still all up there?
Oh, no.
Oh, you brought it all back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if you tore down camp right
there. Well,
then
I learned last year.
Yeah?
Because the wind took it down.
Oh,
yeah. Ruined all my poles.
Yep, right.
Yeah,
you don't want to go. You don't want to go to camp without tent poles and a tent. I'm just going to tell you. We had that experience.
I think I decided this year that I am ready for a cabin.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
it's too much work for me.
Right.
I want to hunt, and I want these guys to have a good time, but it's just not my job.
Right. And you know what? Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm not a spring chicken either.
Right. But anyway. So, wow, there's a whole flock here. But anyway,
I think it's a herd of
coming
chickens.
coming up next, the Grand Rapids Food and Wine Show is in town, and we've got one of the executive chefs from there, a gentleman by the name of Calvin Harris, and he's doing some exhibiting there with his products, as well as he's going to be teaching some things. So we thought we'd grab him and have him join the show.
He came all the way from Texas. I think it's the least we can do.
All right. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Job. And
welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and Country with a Twist. We appreciate you tuning in. Don't know about where you are, but we got a little snowstorm, and It kind of changes the way we do things, but
kind of changes what you want to eat too, though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. Yes, it does. Bob, we got a guest on the line.
Yes, that's right. I was recently introduced to this gentleman. He hails from Texas. His name is Calvin Harris, and he has all sorts of, I'd say, enterprises. But one that we want to talk about is his new product called Spiced Up. How are you, Calvin?
I am fine, thanks. Happy to be on the show.
Well, my friend Bob just tells me great things about you, and he's been a big proponent of yours, and I'm sure he's already tried some of your spices. We just got them this week, and I honestly haven't had a chance to use them, but tell us what you're up to in Grand Rapids.
Well, we came in for the International Food and Wine Show. I did ask Bob to control the weather. He didn't do too well for me right now. He's it's an interesting bit of weather that's going on right now.
Are you still out of Austin?
No, I'm out of Miami now.
Much better.
We've done. I'm originally from Texas, born and raised in Dallas, Texas, and which is where kind of my cooking roots really started. My father owned a barbecue house when I was a kid coming up, so. You know, back then they didn't call it child labor laws, but boy, I tell you, we would probably exploit it pretty early in life, you know.
And you're better as a result of it, right?
Absolutely. It was just normal stuff. My father had four boys, eventually five, and we were very much so a part of the process of making sure that wood got put into the pit and, you know, brisket was trimmed and all those other things happened before we could put that barbecue in the smoker all night.
And what part of Texas was that?
In Dallas.
In town? Okay.
Yeah.
Was it mesquite or oak that you were using?
No. So here's the funny thing. My father was really cute. You know, I think about it. So let me tell you a little bit about my background. So I'm a classic French trained chef. You know, I'm sort of a chef slash scientist slash, you know, entrepreneur. I've ran, you know, research and development at Arby's. You may have had Market Fresh back in the day. TGI Fridays are some of the Jack Daniel items. With Burger King, most recent large company, we did chicken fries and some of those items. So, you know, I went to Europe and studied under French Master Chef and worked in high-end restaurants. But then got back to, you know, working for these multi-billion-dollar organizations and running research and development teams. And just a completely different world from, you know, definitely the high-end cooking as well as just, you know, dealing with barbecue.
Right.
But, you know, my father was cute. I'm saying all to say my father didn't realize that he was doing things that were food science-like, but it was just based on sort of instincts, right? And part of that was just having the right rub combinations. And my father's biggest thing was pecan wood.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't use hickory or mesquite. He liked pecan because
it's wonderful.
It wasn't as much of a punch in your face as hickory.
Right.
And he could, like, smoke it for a long time. And that was really kind of his secret. We trim them up a little bit, the briskets, and we'd really put a nice thick rub on them and basically just put those bad boys in the smoker for anywhere from 10 to 12 hours at right around 225 degrees. And just kind of being able to master the science of being able to having the right heat source, right?
But you said it earlier, and I feel that a very big key to that, your temperatures are spot on. The pecan, I couldn't tell you how wonderful that wood is. But the spices or whatever you're putting on that meat now is going to have a very big impact because you've already got the temperature right. You're using good smoke. Tell us what you think about your spice blend.
Well, you know, let me just tell you that so the spice blends that I came up with were, you know, during COVID, everybody was coming to the house, right? As you can imagine, you know, restaurants were sort of closed down, not as much in Miami as in some other places around the country.
Boy, good time to know Calvin.
There you go. Trust me, I had quite a few visitors.
I bet.
And my house was the test lab for the neighborhood, it felt like. Everyone was coming by the house. Chef, will you try this? You know, it was everybody's sort of experiments in the kitchen. Because, you know, the whole thing is you get used to doing the same things. And, you know, the family got tired of eating those same meals. And
yeah.
I too, experienced that, right? So living at the house. You know, beyond the house, I'm the CEO guy, chef, blah, blah, blah. At the house, I'm the cook. I'm the house cook and the grocery shopper that needs to make sure everybody's eating well. So even me, even myself, it was kind of going through these challenges of, all right, we don't want to make the same thing every day. What can I do to sort of twist things up? And so part of the journey was I was continuously going to the grocery store, buying new spices every day, it seemed like. I had a new set of spices, and my pantry was getting pretty full, and my wife started looking at me a little funny, and she said, do you have enough spices? I said, perhaps, and I realized that, well, why don't I make this a little bit easier for myself? Why don't I start pre-mixing these spices and come up with some curated blends that would fulfill the needs of, you know, various spice profile.
The profile that you're aiming towards, like fish, chicken, beef, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, I, having worked and having some great relationships with companies who could source great, high-end, high-quality spices, it was easy for me to be able to start playing and kind of turning my home kitchen into my little spice lab. And this is how we came up with these blends. You know, I wanted a house blend which could go on your vegetables, your eggs.
That's a good one, too. Vegetables and eggs. Those are two great ideas. So you're up here. We're short on time. You're up here for the International Food Show, but that means that your product must be now available here somewhere. Tell us where our listeners in Michigan and maybe anywhere in the Midwest can pick up Spiced Up.
Absolutely. Thanks. We're at Meijer's grocery stores. You should be able to find this in your grocery sections of the grocery stores. And we're online. Obviously, if you go to Spiced Up Seasonings by Chef Calvin, you can find us both on Shopify, Amazon, and soon to be, you know, Kroger nationwide. So we'll start that in March. But local, Meijer should have the product. And if they don't, ask someone in the grocery to make sure that they do.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So real briefly, we got 1 minute left. Your dad sounds like he knew brisket. Texas has a lot of guys that say their brisket's the only way to do it. I guess Michigan does too. You're talking to one. But, so a lot of the Texans I knew would not trim, and they'd only use salt and pepper. Did you do differently?
Yeah, no. We like to trim a little bit. Sometimes if the fat was really, really hard up there, we'd like to just take just a little bit off. Because part of it, too, is when you're cooking at large volumes like that, right? Because we'd have anywhere from, 75, 80 to 100 briskets going at any one time on the rack.
Well, listen, I hate to cut you short, Calvin, but my producer's giving me the hook. Calvin Harris, Spiced Up Seasonings. You can catch him at the International Food and Wine Show in downtown. And, of course, you can pick up his products now at Meijer. Calvin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay.
Stay warm.
Thank you.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family has been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. Hey, I tell you what, Chef Calvin, I wish we could have had a couple more minutes with him because that guy's a wealth of knowledge. He's not just your average cook. This guy's a scientist, and he's come up with those rubs. And I guess you can check him out at Meijer. It's called Spiced Up. Is Chef Calvin Harris. I think you can find that stuff online.
Makes you a little envious, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I mean, I've been told a million times, you should have your own line of seasoning. And I keep thinking, there's so many out there. Why do I want to? And now here he just starts this one up.
Well, but I'm telling you, he's a chef, and he's professionally trained, and he's worked in this industry, and he's got access.
He's got more street cred.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and he's got access to things that you and I have never heard of that he'll put in a blend and to make
like
it perfect.
Cash?
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe that could be it. But anyway, hey, you know, you're listening to this on the weekend right before Thanksgiving, so this is our last opportunity to chat at you before you got to perform in the kitchen. If it's you that's making the turkey or any of the side dishes or anything like that, we thought we might touch base on a couple techniques, tips, and maybe just chat a little bit about it.
Yeah, and this was a thought that came to me as, like, I'm hearing all this turkey shortage, this shortage, that shortage, and I haven't even bought mine yet, so I don't know. I'm heading over to Sobey after we do this show, but if there is a turkey shortage, or if the price is unreal, or you don't like the selection, how about a very big roasting hen?
Sure.
Because it's actually as good as or better than turkey. And
yep,
it's going to be a beautiful presentation, especially if you do like beer can, put it on the smoker, standing it up, or have it, you know, beautifully seasoned and browned. It's just going to be a nice bird.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Ham, people who have ham during Thanksgiving.
That's crossing the line.
I understand, but
crossing the line.
But so let's go back to the turkey, because I'm betting that most of the people will have one. I mean, I've been in the stores, the big box stores. Of course, you're going to get a better one at Sobey's, that they're fresh and they're wonderful.
Yeah.
But if you're the guy that buys the frozen turkey, I'll tell you that I was in a store and there was an end cap display of them right this time of year. There always is. They were a dollar, like 17 a pound or something, so they're not outrageous, but last year you could probably get them for 39 cents, so in, you know, the scope of things, that's it. But if you buy one of those big frozen ones, like a lot of people do, let's maybe start there.
Yeah, so those you do not brine, they're already brined,
right? Generally they are. It'll say on the wrapper if they've been brined or not.
Yeah, I don't know of anybody that would freeze a turkey without brining it,
right?
Because foods actually still age even in the freezer. So the brining suspends that buildup of bacteria. And with fowl, at least from my knowledge, with fowl, you're in a more precarious position in terms of, that's why your temperature has to be 165. You need to kill certain bacteria that are harmful. And,
right.
And so if you brine it, you suspend a lot of those mold and bacteria and things that are trying to grow on a piece of protein.
So when
because
you,
of the salt and
so
sugar.
So today is Saturday, big shopping day for a lot of people because they got the time off, right? Before they have to do the meal. I get my turkey. Let's run a scenario here. I get my turkey today.
And
it's one of those that we talked about, yep, that's frozen. It's already brined. And it's like, it's a 18-pound rock,
mm-hmm,
okay? How do I thaw that out? What's the best way to do that?
Great, great question. So take a cooler. If your garage is unheated, put it in a cooler in your garage for the next 4 or 5 days. The day before, go out and check it and see what it feels like. If it's still a little frozen in the middle, bring it in the house and put it in a sink full of cold water.
Okay.
And let it finish off there. Take your temperature probe around midnight or before you go to bed.
Unlike Wednesday, if you're going to do it on Thursday.
Before Thanksgiving, everybody's up late.
Right.
We know what you're doing.
Right.
So,
big celebration day, yes, we'll call it that. Yeah.
Famous in our house, let me tell you.
Right.
And I'm the DD.
Yeah.
Well, so before you put all the kids to bed, put your probe in that thing and make sure you're below 41 but above 32.
Right. Means it's thawed, but it's not too warm.
And then just put it in a bowl and put it in the fridge, right. your beer fridge.
Right.
So or back in the cooler in the garage or outside.
So the moral of that story is thawed out, and you can thaw it out to make sure it's thawed the day before, right? Don't put it in warm water. Don't try to thaw it in the microwave or anything like that. That just is not good. So you got to let this thing come to temperature on its own, and it's going to take a few days.
It's just like everything we talk about. It's time and temperature.
Right.
It's the same deal. It's just in reverse.
Right.
We're going the other way.
Yeah. So we get this thing thawed out. A lot of people like to put stuffing in the cavity. Other people think, that's terrible. I want it in a pot beside it. Either way is okay as long as you get it cooked completely, right?
Yeah, what my bride does is she scoops it out of the turkey, throws it in a cake pan, and then adds some just regular stuffing that she baked, you know, didn't stuff, and then throws it back in the oven. Because there is always a consideration that there might be some contaminants
juice,
still in the
juice
turkey.
That didn't get to temperature.
E. coli is what you're looking for. And,
right.
Yeah, so stuffing, though, it's like the number two request for Thanksgiving behind mashed potatoes.
Right. So let's stick on the turkey here just a little bit because that's the frozen one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and I enjoy fresh turkey,
yep.
Right? And it's, in my opinion, it's better. Not everybody can do it. It's a little bit different process. You still got to get it a few days ahead of time because it'll be thawed. And you got to keep it cold, right, under that 41 degrees that Bob said. But the reason that I like a fresh turkey rather than a frozen one is that I can brine it, right? And so let's talk a little bit.
And you think you're a better briner than Butterball.
Well, I think that I can put some aromatics
and
some flavor profile.
It hasn't been frozen. I know what you're
saying.
Right, yep, exactly.
And it hasn't been frozen. The texture of the meat is going to be more tender. When things freeze and thaw, it just affects the consistency of the meat.
Have you ever heard this? I've heard a lot of people say, the bigger the bird, the better the taste.
You know, I buy one for the size of people. I said that wrong. For the number of people, I buy one the size for the number of people that it'll feed about double. Because I like to send everybody home with leftovers. People
right,
love that.
Right.
But
does your
I don't
girl
get the big
do all
one.
The Thanksgiving cooking?
No, I do. She'll do the side dishes. She'll do. She loves that green bean casserole. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to stick on this turkey thing.
No, we don't have to cover that.
Right? Yeah, that's a pretty easy one. Three ingredients. But my point is that this turkey. Let's talk a little bit about the brine and what it is. Brines are salt, sugar, and water. But that's the beginning, right? And then you, whatever your turkey seasonings are that you like, you can put quite a little bit of that in that brine because. You want those aromatics to come out and penetrate that meat a little bit.
I think we're missing a contribution here. And I think, Conrad, do you want to talk turkey a little bit?
Are yeah,
you,
yeah.
Don't you have
real,
an opinion
briefly,
on this?
First of all, you know that turkeys at Meijer is up to 55 cents a pound this year.
Is that high?
That's 20 cents higher than it's been. And then
55 cents a pound sounds like a deal.
Well, there you go. Well, see, you don't do the shopping in your family. And then the little the green bean casserole, the little onion jam on top.
Onions?
Yeah, $4 for the little shaker of
Ouch.
That. So
yeah.
Yeah, buddy. That's what I'm saying. So my brother-in-law did the big, what do they call it? When you take the whole turkey and you deep fry it.
They call it a deep fried turkey.
Yeah, we did that in our driveway. I'd say we did that like 6 years ago.
And aren't they good?
Very popular.
Surprising. I mean, when people told me they were doing it the first time I saw it, I'm like, hey, you're taking a really healthy piece of meat and making it absolutely not healthy. No, that's not true.
Right.
That grease seals that skin so fast that it actually comes out juicier than about any other way you could make it.
Right.
Yeah, but be careful. Be careful when you're doing that. Get outside the garage. Get away from the house.
Randy, he's talking to you.
Don't look at me. I don't do this. But I will tell you that there's a couple things that you need to do when you deep fry a turkey, and we'll take this turn then if we're here. What you need to do is get your turkey pot out the day before and set your frozen turkey in it and fill it with water and then put a little mark on there, because what you don't want to do is get the oil hot, put the turkey in, and it overflows.
Yeah, or right? Put your turkey in there and just fill it with oil.
Right. Well, you don't want oil all over. You don't want warm oil, cold oil all over your turkey. But anyway, we'll pick this up in a minute. Conrad's giving me the finger. We got to roll. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Dirty Point Buck.
Dirty Point Buck.
The Grilling Guys.
Dirty Point Buck.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. Bob, where can people find us on that World Wide Web thing?
Yeah, thegrillingguys.com. And I'd have to say both of the emails are right now busted. We're having an issue with Microsoft.
Yeah.
So I'm going to win this battle, and we're going to get new email.
That's good. And it'll be the same address as just a different server, I guess, we're working on.
Yeah, we'll see. But either way, you can check us out on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. We're also on Rumble and I believe Truth Social now. So we're expanding to all these other platforms. Case Zuckerberg gets pissed at me always talking about him.
Again. Yeah. But so when we left the last segment, we were talking about deep fried turkeys, and it's worth talking about this process, because you don't want to put your turkey in the oil, have it overflow onto the flame. That will be a nasty mess instantly that you do not want to have.
Yeah, and if you're using peanut oil, you're not going to have a fire risk. You're going to have a mess.
Right.
And the side of your turkey cooker, and mine I just recently cleaned, but the side of it will be permanently, like, it looked like there's dark varnish all over it forever.
Right.
It took me like hours and hours of soaking recently to clean it up because I was using it down at the kitchen.
Right. So deep frying a turkey, a great way to do it. Okay. But you got a big pot, and what you want to do the day before the turkey that you're going to cook is set that turkey in the bottom of that pan and fill it with water till it's about an inch or two above the turkey, and just take some sort of a pencil, a Sharpie, something, and mark the interior edge. And then when you pull it out, then, you're going to mark it where the water level is. Not when the turkey's in there, but where the water level is after you take it out, because that's where you want to fill it to the oil. So when you put the turkey back in the next day, it's going to come up and you're not going to overflow, right? Because that is what you just absolutely cannot do, is overflow that. When you got a hot flame and you splash oil on the flame, you're going to get a big fire.
And you don't have that problem with a smoker. So what are we going to do with a smoker?
Well, that's how I'm doing it, is I'm going to smoke our turkey, and I'm going to fire up the good one just because it's in my driveway right now. Normally, I would do this on my big green egg, right? But either of those are a wood-fired / lump charcoal-fired smoker. So that's where I'm starting. And then we'll cover in the last, or are we in the fourth segment? Conrad, I'm lost.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so what I want to do then is, because we wanted to cover spatchcocking.
It's okay. Finish up with how you're going to smoke.
Well, that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to spatchcock this chicken, this turkey rather, which means taking the back out of it, cutting the rib cages out.
Laying it open like a filet.
Right. We've done this process before, and we can do it again if we don't run out of time. But then I season the inside, and then I rub butter all over the outside of it and put my seasonings on after that butter's on there.
Do you ever put sprigs of herbs under the skin, cut little slots and,
no,
and make
it kind of... No, I've
never
done that.
It's really cool. I've seen a few instances of it, and I've tried it a few times, and I kind of just like the looks of it.
So is it what I've done with the herbs, and you're talking like rosemary and
whatever,
and
yeah,
fennel,
any of your cousins,
thyme, any of those, yeah. So what I've done is I bunched them up and put a little butcher's twine around them and set the bird on them. Okay, so that it's sitting not on the grates of the smoker, but it's sitting on those herbs.
Oh, putting sprigs of herbs down.
Right.
Wonderful idea.
So the heat from the below the bird goes through the seasonings, and then...
Well, you can then chop those up and use them for other things, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like blend them in with your crustinis or anything
like
that.
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly. But that's how I do it. You know, the turkey seasoning, you can get any poultry seasoning that you... There's nothing magic
about
that.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks so much for not talking about green bean casserole, because
yeah.
That looks like... something the dog left. So,
oh, come on, man. That is a favorite. You got mashed potatoes,
your house,
green beans, and squash, right?
There's,
you're going to have those three on my house.
0 for 9 in my house that want that.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, see? I bought the stuff already.
Oh.
Conrad, you're spot on. No, $4 a tub for those little French fried onions.
Yep.
And but she had to have them, so we got them.
If you were lucky or smart, you would have stocked up your pantry this summer, so you wouldn't be feeling that bruise right now. And I know we have a few cans, but we never use them.
Right. Oh, I got plenty of beans and you know all the other stuff they put in there, but that it was the onions, those French fried onions, that were the shocker. They were like, holy crap.
So Conrad really likes the onion part of it. I'm guessing you're a onion ring friend.
I like, but I want to talk about stuffing real quick, because
okay.
I don't put too much into the show, you know, besides laughing
but
at
you. But you make
boys.
Stuffing, huh?
No, what it is my wife makes, obviously, stuffing in the bird, but then she has the big stuffing. And it's not the same, because it's not crispy, you know, it's not great. But here's what you do. The day after, when you're doing those Thanksgiving turkey sandwiches, you take that leftover stuffing and you put it in the waffle maker.
Oh.
You shut it down, and then it comes out. It's crispy.
Unbelievable.
It's hot, and it's so good for the leftover
Conrad.
Stuffing. Yeah.
Groundbreaking technique.
There
are you made history on the grilling, guys.
Are you kidding me?
I'm literally excited.
You've been sitting there for years and never come up with anything that good.
No, that's good, man. That's really good. And everybody has a waffle maker.
Right.
Yeah. How often do you use them, though? Get that mother out.
Right.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to get the test kitchen going on that one.
Yeah.
Now, hey.
Ooh,
you
a little
could,
maple syrup
you
on that,
do
maybe.
All
Yeah. Sorry.
That's weird.
it's
not
hit
a
me.
Waffle.
Just hit me
good, work.
Yeah.
Good work. Good work.
All right. That's all I got.
I'm speechless. That's all you got. Come on, man. You're on a roll.
Yeah, what else? How about cranberries? Do you like
no, no,
do
you
like
gotta,
real?
You got to have the if you don't have the little ridges from the
can,
it's not
gelatinous.
Yeah, that's how you just plop it out thing. That's
you don't,
all you do.
You don't do fresh cranberries.
No.
Oh, my mom used to grind
so
them with
good.
Orange peel all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
That's the way my girl does it.
Yeah, I could never do it. It's just so bitter.
Maureen's cranberries are the best I've ever had.
Well, good. That's why you stuck with her. I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the reason. Jeez.
So did we get through
the
brining and deep frying and spatchcocking and smoking?
If you're doing a chicken, I would tell you this. You can stand it upright with a beer can.
Right.
Smoker.
In the cavity. Deal,
and put a little orange juice in it. Make sure you stuff some fruit down the top of the cavity so that it steams up.
Yeah.
About a half a soup can full of orange juice. Fantastic profile.
Yep.
But that's if you want to stand. You can stand up a turkey the same way if your oven's big enough.
Right. Well, take a rack out and put it on the bottom, and
well, you got to be careful if
right.
you put it on the bottom.
Because it gets
hot. You burn
hot.
His feet.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. And the smoker for me is, I'm using the oven for something else, right? Whether it's mashed potatoes, mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Casserole, I know that doesn't
most
happen
of
at Bob's house. But.
And most of us don't have double ovens.
Right.
Wish I did
right.
every Thanksgiving.
So that smoker, what that does is avails me a lot of oven space. Lisa always makes a pie
How many hours in that smoker? Because my wife is up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning to get the bird in.
Right. So it's the same deal. It's time and temperature.
Right. That's it.
Yeah. 165 is all. And I tell you what, though, with spatchcocking that, it's going to cook. You're going to take about 30% of the cook time off of that because you got more surface
area.
But
most people aren't probably going to do that. Most people, I'm going to say, want the presentation of the bird.
Yep.
Do you disagree?
But you
like to spatchcock because that's easy for us, but I'm just saying most people don't want to butcher this first bird they get and screw it up and experiment on Thanksgiving. So,
yeah, I guess.
You know.
Yeah,
so I'm saying they're probably going to leave it upright.
Yep.
And it's the first time you pull one out of a smoker, you're going to love it. But I'm going to tell you to run that temperature on that smoker between 225 and 300. Keep it up a little more than you might on a brisket or something else. And here's why. You don't want to oversmoke that bird.
Right.
So the higher your temperature goes, the less smoke you're throwing at it. If you have a good lump charcoal, like I use Royal Oak. If I have Royal Oak charcoal, I know the flavor from the smoke's going to be wonderful. And that's really all you need.
Right.
You don't need to put flavor wood on a turkey. You just want some savory.
Yep. And don't oversmoke it because it gets a little bitter, and then your whole family will wrinkle their nose up on the first bite.
My wife had a fit when I told her I was going to do one for her family party about 10 years ago.
Right.
And I said, let me do one of the three. So I did one of the three. I've told this story a million times. That one was gone first. Right. There's two that came out of the oven that sat there like, you know, the ugly girls at a dance.
Right, yeah.
Oh, gosh. So, but on the smoker, the meat's a little pink, though, isn't it, right? I mean,
you get a smoke ring.
Right, yes. Yeah. But pink is bad from the oven. Pink is good from the smoker if you got to your 165 degrees at the deepest part.
Good time to have a thermal pen right now.
Right.
Poke that in the joints. Be careful how you poke the breast.
Right.
That's a rule of thumb.
I understand.
No matter where
you go. Yeah. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Sorry about the rabbit trails that we went down today, but you ought to be used to it. So anyway, hey, have a safe Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.